It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Football's back. We finally reached this point, JP, where earlier in the week we talked about the idea that as soon as Labor Day ends, football's back, and I didn't feel it. Today I felt it. Like thinking about tonight's game, Chiefs-Ravens, thinking about being, you know, one day quicker and one day closer to the Browns game. Like I think I caught the football, the vibes today, and I'm right into football today. I'm all in.
I've got great football vibes today. I think it'll feel a little fugazi. It won't feel real until we actually get to Sunday with the Browns.
No, I think that's definitely a part of it. You know what though? Kickoff, man. The second and here's the thing. The NFL's so smart about what they do in this game on the Thursday night football game that putting the rematch of the AFC title game, which is still ripe in the minds of Ravens fans, and I think anybody that dislikes the Ravens or anybody that hates the Chiefs, it's the perfect like beginner game for the NFL season. You couldn't script this better.
I mean, it's two heavyweights. The problem, though, is that if the Ravens end up beating the Chiefs, then we're just going to the Chiefs end up beating the Ravens, then we're just going to have to sit there and be like, oh, guess we got 17 more weeks of watching the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes be, I don't know, the best team on planet Earth. Like, there's a downside to this. There was a downside to putting the Chiefs number one up against the Ravens the way that they did it.
I hear no downside. I mean, at this point, building them into Drago... Because that's the Chiefs are not Rocky.
It's what Ravens fans have done for themselves here, though.
In 2019, the Chiefs were Rocky. 4 years later, 5 years later, and math is hard for me, 5-6 years later, however long it's been since 2019, they're Drago. They are the unstoppable force. Mahomes is the quarterback version of Drago. You think you've knocked him on his ass, and then with 12 seconds left, he makes a miracle play to upend the Bills and then go win a damn Super Bowl. Like that's how I view all of this, is it's like... This is the coronation or the culmination, however you want, one of those C words.
all the C words.
Of what has been building now for like 5 years. I think this is the year where everybody just mother bleeps the Chiefs. So the better the Chiefs are early, I think the more intrigue it adds for the idea of a three-peat and trying to build the underdogs and who's going to unseat them.
I don't know that the NFL fan is interested in a three-peat. I think we love parody. I think we love the idea that Mahomes could potentially go into a Tom Brady 10-year drought without winning a Super Bowl. I think we're rooting for that. I don't think we want to see domination stationed by Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, no, but we do want... So the idea is that we build the Chiefs up so much so that when they fall, that the fall seems from the furthest heights. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I get it. I also think that...
You're not rooting for the...
I can't pick a side right now. And we're going to get into the game a little bit later on. I played with over-under totals. I'm kind of in on the under tonight. Mm-hmm. I've had a million different thoughts on this game. I can't figure it out because this game matters so much more for the Ravens than it does the Chiefs.
I can see why you think that.
That's a polite way of saying I disagree 100%.
It is.
I can see why you think that.
We're inching in to Baron Penguin here.
This is
We're not hurtling into
what's
it.
What's our over-under on Donnybrook's today?
I would set it at 2.5.
Okay, good. That's a good number. Yeah. If we're close to that, I'll feel decent about it.
But no, I mean, I think...
Hoping the under hits.
I do think it's big for both teams. Like, I can understand if the Ravens feel like the underdogs, though. If they feel like this is that
important. Why is this big for the Chiefs? If the Chiefs lose, they'll just tell you how they lost to the Raiders on Christmas Day, how they lost Sunday Night Football to Jordan Love and the Packers, and the regular season, it is what it is.
That's because it has tie-breaking implications. Like, these are two of the teams people expect to be battling for the number one seed in the AFC. I think that's...
Chiefs were a 3 seed last year. They weren't a favorite in any playoff game that they entered.
Do you think they care about seeding anymore? Because I would.
Last year, Mahomes had the fewest amount of wins he's ever had in a season with, in his NFL career. He had the lowest passer rating he's ever had and the most amount of interceptions. I'm building up a theory that the Chiefs last season showed you they don't care as much about regular season football as maybe we want them to.
I always like theories, whether you have them or not. Anthony Lima, what up? But with what you're saying, yes, hypothetically, I'm sure the Chiefs have hubris that is an all-time high. There's a lot of things that I can do reasonably well. If you can make it 10% easier, I'll take the 10% easier.
I mean, they opted to make the 10% easier when the postseason came, I think was their choice. Can we be 100%? Can we be at our best when the postseason comes? That's what they were playing for last year in my mind.
No.
Now, on the Ravens side of things, Ravens, it's a different story. If the Ravens lose tonight against the Chiefs, they'll come back from it. They'll come back from it because it's Harbaugh and it's Lamar and you got 16 other games to come back from it. But that is defeating. Knowing that you got a team that just has your number and that's all you got.
I do. There's a part of me that does think this is the perfect game for the Ravens to win because the stakes have never been lower. Because it's week one. Like,
you think no one's just going to care? And just be like, you lost the Chiefs, water is wet, this is what you do?
You're incapable of talking crap about this game if you're the Ravens, if you win it. Because if you win it, the rebuttal is, who won the Super Bowl last year and who beat you in your own house to get to the Super Bowl that you won? This game has,
for sure.
You can't, even maybe in the psyche of Ravens fans, this game is important from that side. But to the Ravens themselves, they realize they're not going to be made whole until they beat them booty cheeks in the playoffs.
No, that had to be as dispiriting as it gets when you're a Ravens fan last year.
Hate to say it.
And you watch that AFC title game where the best pass Lamar threw in the entire game was a completion to himself. And you think afterwards, oh, it doesn't matter. We're just living in the generation of Patrick Mahomes, potentially the greatest quarterback of all time when it's all said and done. That's an awful way to live as a fan base.
And here's the thing. You and I get to live in this narrow margin of the Browns are not seen as a threat to Mahomes yet. So I can enjoy that Mahomes has terrorized the rest of the AFC.
For sure.
The last several years, because the Browns have been their, I don't want to say their own worst enemy, but they fought their own battles. So, like, if you lose in the playoffs or you have to face Mahomes in the playoffs after facing him, I think, in week 15 this year, we're going to hate him. And we're going to hate him the way we've never hated anybody before, because now all of a sudden we've got skin in the game. Right now, no skin in the game.
I do like
the
unknown.
The Ravens' ass.
No, that's a great point by you, though, because I love the unknown of it all, though. I love the idea that, like the Bengals up against Patrick Mahomes, they got Burrowhead. They can convince themselves that they have Mahomes' number. They beat him. Only time Mahomes has ever lost in an AFC title game when Tom Brady was not involved is that instance right there. Like, I don't know. If you're Josh Allen, you're the Bills. You think about things the way the Ravens potentially think about things with Patrick Mahomes. Like, there's two different sides here with the Browns. We're just in Mahomes limbo right now.
Yeah.
We have no idea what would happen Patrick Mahomes versus Deshaun Watson right now. And I think that's a good thing for the Browns.
I'm not trying to be a Dolan family member here, but enjoy it.
That was exactly being a Dolan family member.
Because from now on, this might be the last time you can just watch the Chiefs without, and I know what happened in 2020. Guys, That has lost its luster. It's a different team. It's your quarterback's different. It's just different. That seed never germinated, that potential rivalry there between Baker and Mahomes and
never
everything.
Spencer germinated.
It's the germinator. But I do think, like, it's a matter of time. So, like, you, I fundamentally agree with you that I do think that the Chiefs have become good enough that now it's time to hate them. That's how most fans think. I'm not there yet. Because I am, like, there's a part of me that's like, people have lived on this earth for 60 damn years, and we've never seen three straight Super Bowls in a row. There is a part of me that I am rooting for history. Number one is, Browns can win the damn Super Bowl. I'd like that, please, yes, because we haven't seen the Browns in a Super Bowl ever. The second best thing, as long as it's not you losing to the Chiefs on the way, is the Chiefs getting a three-peat, simply because it's almost like they become an underdog, because now everyone's going to be rooting against them.
Isn't everybody already rooting against them?
Well, yeah, but I think that's what this last year was, because they became undisputable. Like, okay. they should not have won last year. You mentioned didn't have home field advantage. They were the 3 seed,
underdog in the Dolphins game, underdog in the Bills game, underdog in the Ravens game, and then the Super Bowl.
Well, and so not just the
Mahomes
underdog
just kept
stuff,
rewriting that stuff.
Who the hell was he throwing to? None of those guys are back. Like, they had to completely and wholly overhaul outside of Rashee Rice, who's got his own
thing. Rice and it's Kelsey, but yeah, I get your point.
But, like, from the wideout standpoint,
how about Rashee Rice being on the field tonight?
Oh, okay. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I do think, like, this is the problem with the NFL's conduct policy, is I think it becomes very easy to get into the whataboutism of Rashee Rice being on the field tonight and Mike Hall Jr. being on the commissioner's list. And I'm not trying to make a case for Mike Hall Jr. That's not, I'm saying the opposite.
It's a different story for a different time, though. I think the main point is that I don't feel like the Browns are drawing dead against the Chiefs. If the Chiefs beat the Ravens tonight, There's a how do you as a Baltimore fan feel anything but like you're drawing dead consistently?
I do think this is where we tie in the Browns thing, because I want to get to the Ken Dorsey thing we were going to lead with, but we kind of led here.
You got talking football.
I got excited. We both. Bear and Penguin get excited. That's what we do.
Bear and Giraffe get real excited.
Don't think Giraffe. I think Giraffe's
8 years
step.
In, I'm going to rewrite our tag team
well,
here.
Can you not rewrite it better? Like, no. Giraffe is in the wrong direction.
No, I need an animal. What animal am I if I'm an animal?
No one's ever wanted to be a giraffe. No offense to giraffes, all right? But no one's ever
We went to the Cleveland Zoo a couple weekends ago. That's the one animal you can feed like lettuce to, and they come on over, and they just seem, I mean, they're very tall and intimidating creatures. The giraffes had big lines, is what I'll say.
If you made
big
giraffes,
lines for the giraffes.
If you made giraffes 7 feet tall, none of us would be intimidated by giraffes. Well, the only thing intimidating is the fact they're like 15 to 20 feet tall. Now, getting back to this, I do think there's going to be a fair amount of Browns fans watching this game tonight. And if the Ravens lose, say, see, it's our division. Like, I actually think the Ravens losing today is good for the psyche of Cleveland, because it'll feel like a break to some people. Because one, bleep Baltimore. And two, okay, that's supposed to be the boogeyman, and they couldn't beat Mahomes playing them twice in a row, even if it was separated by 9 months.
I also think that the idea that we don't know what the Browns would be against Mahomes is, there's something, easing about that maybe. There's something, I like that thought process. I like that better than the idea that the Ravens got better while losing a bunch of pieces last year. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, after winning 13 games last year, have a chance to replicate that.
Okay. Is this a hot take to say I think the Browns actually match up well against Mahomes? So my point, nobody matches well up against Mahomes because the guy is magic. Like he floats on air. Like the man is ridiculously talented and can beat you no matter what the score and circumstance is. But the teams that we've seen slow him down have been the teams that can rush with four and can drop seven in coverage and disguise coverage and have veteran defensive coordinators. From that side of things, you do have that. Obviously, you would need Deshaun and the offense to kind of carry their water, but from the defensive matchup, Myles Garrett versus Pat Mahomes could be a wild card type matchup.
You'll get pressure on him, especially since they have some rookies on that offensive line, by the way, but you get pressure on him. You have a Pro Bowler at three levels of the defense, so you can take on, if it's Rashee Rice versus Denzel Ward, okay, good luck. You know what I mean?
But not if it's Rashee Rice versus the law.
Yeah, that's still undefeated.
Sorry about that.
And then J.O.K. can do what he does against Lamar, against Patrick Mahomes, where he just spies him and then takes care of business. You can't do as much improvisation as what you normally would be able to do. And so, yeah, I think they match up very well defensively against Mahomes.
The people that hate me are going to be like, Nick just said they beat Pat Mahomes and they guaranteed a win and on December 15th. Not what I said, but enjoy it. I'm going to go Dolan again.
If that was your
there.
Take, then enjoy it.
But
yeah.
No, I mean, I think, and by the way, I do think it's just basic math. If they lose tonight and you get the win, even though one's an AFC matchup out of division and the other's an NFC matchup, it's basic math. You have a leg up on them. And so one of the big ideas on making hay is the Ravens have not consistently come out of the gates storming every single year. They've had some years where they've done the find themselves in November kind of bit. So one of the I think we always talk about, you got to make hay early in the season, and sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not true. But I do think just the psychological advantage of if you're 1-0 at the end of this weekend and they're 0-1, it makes them feel a little bit more human, a little bit more gettable.
Well, and I think the idea that they were so dominant last year in winning as many games as they did and beating, what was it, teams with a 500 record or above. I mean, they crushed the 49ers. They de-pantsed the Lions. Like, all the really good teams they took on, they absolutely just destroyed. And so I think there is something to the idea that regular season Lamar seems about as dominant as you can find. And if the Chiefs take care of business, maybe it pierces that as well.
Ken Dorsey was speaking, Browns offensive coordinator, today, and was talking about Deshaun Watson, the offense, and reeling in Deshaun versus setting Deshaun free.
The biggest thing that you want to do for these guys is not take away their instincts. You know, some of the best quarterbacks that have been out there, they're the ones who are step out of that box, and those are the guys who make those plays work. You know, when they step out of that box, either with a scramble or, hey, why'd you throw it there? That's not part of the progression versus, well, I saw this, or, you know, just instinctually they have that in them. So there's that balance of staying within the system while also not handicapping them from what they instinctually do best. And so I think that's the big thing, and just understand outstanding. You know, there's going to be plays that he's going to make some exceptional plays for us that no one else in this league can make. And he's going to be able to do that for us, balancing that with, hey, there's a time to throw it away and move on to the next down. I think it's just a balance you got to strike with these guys and make sure, you know, you don't put the handcuffs on them in too many ways.
Now, there's something that stood out apparently to you. What was that?
It was the idea that there's throws that he can make that nobody else can make. There's plays that nobody else in the NFL can make. When Deshaun came into the league, I think that there might have been some truth to that. He came in the same draft class as Patrick Mahomes. Since he's come in, though, we have Mahomes. We have Josh Allen. We have Joe Burrow. We have Herbert. We have all these other quarterbacks, Lamar, all these guys. What play is Deshaun Watson doing that cannot be done? And I'm a Deshaun supporter. We need to make that abundantly clear, okay?
I should have led with that.
I think Deshaun's going to be good this year, as I bash him right now. But I think Deshaun's going to be good this year. But in today's NFL, what play is he possibly making that we haven't seen done before?
Well, I don't think it's specific. Well, and by the way, you can say the same thing about Mahomes. Like, people say, oh, I've never seen that play before. I watched Brett Favre play.
I've never seen someone do a behind-the-back pass the way Mahomes did in the preseason. That is legitimately a play I've never seen done before.
I've never seen somebody make the behind-the-pass behind the back pass, and at it's a completion. I've seen the off the ass pass. That's just being a Browns fan. We all watch Brandon Whedon play or Colt McCoy play. But no, I mean, I don't think that's too hyperbolic. I mean, I think the whole point of what enticed you to trade for Deshaun is those, what was that plays? So that's maybe how I define it. When I heard him, I didn't think of like a specific throw across your body, 60 yards into the wind with a sun in your eye and a defender on your legs. Like I looked at it more of the, what was that plays? Which that is Mahomes. That is what Deshaun was in Houston.
But it implies a layer above of what we already see from Mahomes and Allen and all these other guys. And that's where he kind of lost me a little bit. I mean, Allen, he probably would have lost me if he just said, I think of him the same way I think of Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or some of these other top quarterbacks. But he was like, nah, he can do above that. He can make these plays nobody else can make. And it's like, can he really? Is that Deshaun? And I'm not asking Deshaun to be that, by the way. I need to make that abundantly clear. I'm asking him to make impressive plays. I don't need him to be the number one quarterback in the NFL, though. That's never what I've needed from him. I need to have confidence that he can make wild plays for sure, but he has to be a unicorn out there. I just don't know that he can be either.
So we're in an interesting spot where I'm the person saying pump the brakes early in the season because I'm not entirely confident the offense is going to be ready when you hit the field against Dallas or the first couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
At the same point, by the end of this contract, do I need to see unicorn? Yeah.
Well, at the end of this contract, hopefully that's three more years from now and we get to see that through.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I stop short of saying at some point this year I need to see the unicorn. Probably is the reality, right? Like, you didn't trade for, hey, you can make throws Jared Goff can make. No offense to Jared Goff. You know, you and Geno Smith, right there together with the plays you can make. The reason why you moved on from Baker was because he couldn't allegedly make those plays.
Right.
So, like...
Well, what Ken is telling you here is that he's seeing reasons to believe why that's true.
Do you not believe that?
Based off of everything that people that have been out there... Because we haven't seen it. I mean, I was out in training camp one day. I can't tell you, you know? I mean, I think... I've made the case before. The last three games we've seen Deshaun play... Three best games we've ever seen him play in a Browns uniform. We don't talk about those games as often for different reasons, mainly because the Arizona game, Arizona scored 0 points. The defense was great. Tennessee game, Tennessee scored 3 points. Derrick Henry went for 20 total yards on 11 carries.
Okay, but even
they
there,
were great, but Deshaun was awesome.
But even in what's interesting about that is I think it goes to my theory that the weight is so skewed right now. For most fans listening right now, I do think the unicorn is what they need. I think for the psyche, after the last 2 years, how poorly people think this has gone. And I don't agree with the assessment 100%. It's not gone the way it should have, but I think there's been some loading up on how bad it allegedly looked last year. But like even in what you just said there, well, in the Tennessee game, that's a bad team. In Arizona, it's like, okay, so we can only count the moments he looked good against good teams.
No,
when
I'm
he
giving
only
him,
played
I'm giving
five
him credit
games.
For those games. I'm saying he looked great in those games.
Well, but I think that is the theory. Like getting back to the idea of at some point he damn well better be a unicorn. Because I think you were sold a unicorn.
Haven't fans adjusted their expectations, though? We were sold a unicorn. We got him with the idea and the promise of a unicorn. Haven't we adjusted our expectations accordingly?
Well, okay. I have in the intermediate. Long term, no. I'm cool with this year being a
I remember being on the air, Nick, when the deal went down and everything like that, and I was saying Super Bowls with an S. I don't say Super Bowls with an S anymore. We have to at some point. I mean, you get new information, you see new things, you got to at some point readjust. We can't be living on what the expectation was the moment that he signed.
You and I are in agreement with that, but if it, this is where watching it every day and living it like you and I do is different from where fans are, where fans pop in and out a little bit more.
Sure, if you were promised, jobs, they got things to do.
If you were promised a unicorn and you got a donkey, or you felt like you got a donkey, I think you'd be pretty disappointed.
All right,
that.
Well, does it make you feel better that Ken Dorsey's saying the unicorn's back on the table? If you took it off like I did, it's back on the table. Ken Dorsey's saying he can do things nobody else in football can do, make plays nobody else in football can do. By the way, 24 hours after Deshaun, never talked as confident as I've ever heard him talk. And then for whatever it's worth, his quarterback's coach also went on national radio and spoke about how great he was as well. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's got to give you some hope.
Does it make me feel better? No. Do I think it adds one scintilla more of potential pressure on Deshaun? Yes, and I think that's what's interesting about Ken Dorsey's comments. Jack, CLE512 saying, we've been saying, what was that play for 25-plus years? Yes, a positive affirmation, though. That's what we're going for. We're looking for incredulity on the positive side of things. What do you guys make of Ken Dorsey's over-the-top endorsement of Deshaun Watson?
I guess the part that confuses me, Nick, is that he didn't have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And even yesterday with Deshaun and how confident Deshaun was, he didn't have to say it the way that he did. I wonder why now. Because they spent all off season. Ken Dorsey didn't rave about Deshaun Watson. And even though it was a couple weeks ago, he talked nicely on him, but he didn't talk about him in the Mahomes Allen way that he just talked about him today. And I don't know. Did you think maybe Deshaun turned a corner? Do you think something really happened in the previous week?
I mean, we had James Palmer on earlier this week, and he had said that there'd been quiet optimism within the Browns because it felt like Deshaun had found his groove.
I mean, this is loud optimism right now, though.
Yeah.
And well, I think that's interesting, the timing of it.
But can I tell you, like when I heard it, I heard the verbose and, you know, he can make plays that nobody can make. I did hear that. I also heard...
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone! Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one!
For Trent! Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What I think the offense should be, and that is less structure, but enough structure that there's still something there for the other players. Like, structure really is, like an offensive decision, like the Kubiak thing. I think that structure is more for the head coach, the play caller, and for the other players in the offense. The offensive line, it's know where you have to be and when you have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receivers, greatly benefits those rhythm throws, those timing throws. I think for a quarterback, though, especially one like Deshaun, and I'm not trying to say like Mahomes, but Mahomes is another one of these guys. Those guys don't do as well in structure. Yes, there is structure around them, but mostly part of what makes them magic is the ability to go out there and it's a play, well, this guy wasn't here at this time, he wasn't open, move around and make something happen. Like the
backyard football of it all.
Yeah, but like I don't that used to be a derogatory thing. Right? Like, that used to be, like, a pejorative you'd say about, like, Johnny Manziel.
We used to always say that about, like, game managers, too, the same way. It used to be looked at as a bad thing. I think now both things are looked at as a good thing these days.
But, like, I think, to me, what I heard is, I still have questions about Dorsey and Stefanski and the give and take of what one guy knows and likes and what another guy knows and likes. And I think we make it out to be, oh, it's they'll work it out. Yeah. But working it out week one and working it out week 17 are two very, very different working it out and how it might look on the field. But I love to hear, hey, we realize we got to peel back some of that structure so we can let this guy go cook.
I mean, I don't think it doesn't make you feel bad. That's for sure. Has it changed your expectations for week one, though? Because let's say the light bulb did go off and Palmer's right, and then now there's a reason why all this confidence is happening. Has it changed your expectations then for week one? Because in my opinion, and they're just words. Words don't mean anything in the big picture of it. But when you have this many people speaking the way that they're thinking and the way that they are, I'm going to believe that something did happen in the previous week. Some sort of breakthrough, some sort of something for Deshaun that is drastically different than what we saw with all the reporters coming out and telling us that the offense didn't look particularly good this preseason.
Here's where I think I'm like every other Browns fan out there. I'm done with words. If you had, like, because remember, last offseason, it was, man, wait till you see this offense. Deshaun was out there. Stefanski, AVP, everybody. Oh, man,
well,
wait
till you. But we were out there, too, though. The difference in that, in my opinion, is that I remember year one. I remember walking away from one of the training camps and being like, Jacoby Brissett looks like a high school player. Mm-hmm. He looks like a high school quarterback next to Deshaun Watson. That's how impressive he was in those moments. And we did it again last year, but this year was a completely different tune, Nick.
No, because I think this is a walk softly and carry a big stick year. Like, there is nothing that can happen before 4:25 on Sunday that is going to sway me in any kind of way.
There was no walking softly in what Dorsey had to say, well, and none of what Deshaun had to say yesterday either.
But that makes it the rarity, but it doesn't give me any. It's not all of a sudden like I just turned on the Jets and I've got brown and orange colored glasses. No, to me, like, and I'll be honest with you, guys, one game shouldn't be enough. I've seen a good game from Deshaun. Now, it's been discredited as, well, he played like that against Arizona, or he played that way against Tennessee. I don't know why I made that person sound like a bro. Bro, come on.
But hey, I got the backwards hat on.
I do.
We're broing out right here.
I'm in
the bro zone.
Oh.
The bro zone.
Didn't like it as soon as it left my lips.
I thought you were going to say highway to the bro zone for some reason. It was going to get real.
Don't make me sing the song, because God help me, I will, and there goes our careers. But
songbird of our generation.
But I got to say, like, one game shouldn't be enough. And this is not to say, like, one game shouldn't be enough in the negative or the positive.
All right, well, tell me this. Am I reaching too much? Because I've been a Deshaun Watson supporter for the previous, well, this whole offseason. I'm of the belief that the final three games of last year was enough for me to see that tells me he's still a good football player. I saw it. Passer rating in the 120s in the Arizona game, 110s in the Tennessee game, and we've talked about that second half with the Ravens game until, you know, ad nauseum, right? Like, mm-hmm. Am I reaching here with the idea that because Deshaun's speaking the way he's speaking and Dorsey's speaking the way he's speaking, that I want to buy into that too much. I need this right now before week one against Dallas.
Yeah, probably. I think everybody should just simmer down on this Dallas game. On one end, I still think they should win. I still have sky-high expectations on the defense when it comes to the offense. By October 20th, I need to see the offense. I need to see explosive plays. I need to see 30 points a game. I need to see, you know, people getting their butts out of the seats to cheer.
What did you say? October 20th? So by the time they take on the Bengals?
I'll be honest with you, it probably should be October 13th.
That's going to be seven games into the season?
Yeah. Well, but that's – I'm getting not, you know what? I'm going to go to the Philly game because I'm going to give you a five-week grace period to fix this bleep and figure it the hell out. So that being said, will I enjoy a great game from Deshaun on Sunday? Absolutely. But I'll say the caveat will be, all right, we got Jacksonville this week. And then you string three of them together. Okay, it's getting tougher to ignore the momentum. All right, let's see it when you go to Philly. Like, if they hit the ground running, awesome. But the idea that should be the expectation, because it's all put on Deshaun. Well, it's time. No more excuses. It's like he doesn't have a healthy offensive line. They have not the offensive line's not practiced together all offseason long. You are working in Jerry Jeudy. There is no Nick Chubb. It is a new offense. And by the way, Kevin Stefanski is calling a new offense for the first time in his career. Like, that's a lot of new. And new can lead to complications.
We've seen this team for how many years, though? I know you said it's a lot of new, and there is some new attached to it all, but how many years have we done with this offense, with Njoku, now with Amari Cooper there for the year three of him, the same offensive line we've had forever. This whole team
health
is,
matters. Continuity on the O-line, being able to practice together, really matters.
We've had the foundation underrated for this team for so long. I mean, think about the different contracts we have for 5 years now. We've had different guys, six, 7 years.
I totally hear you. But when it comes to the O-line, if you go into the season and those guys don't have reps together, it doesn't matter if Deshaun's your quarterback, Baker's your quarterback, Spurgeon wins your quarterback. That'll be one of the things where I go, we got to check ourselves.
We're going to have that for week one.
Well, but that's the thing. We got to check ourselves a little bit here as the offensive line gets settled.
You got Lawrence and Parsons, and you're going to have a brand new offensive line you've never had before.
Yeah, and I think that I think that matters. So again, long term through this season, I need the unicorn. I need a top 12 offense. But I think I think it's a lot to just say, well, Deshaun better figure it out. There's most quarter. Joe Burrow ain't figuring it out with a bad offensive line, no health around him, and his best weapon out. And his best weapon is Nick Chubb, whether we think it's Amari Cooper or not. It's Nick Chubb's the best weapon on this offense that isn't Deshaun Watson. So, all right, the figure it out stuff works when you have everything in your favor. Right now, I don't think there's anything in Deshaun's favor other than he's been here for 2 years.
I get it. I guess I'm just a little surprised that, listen, I know this is how we work, right? Most sports talk radio hosts, we take nothing that these guys say. They're just a grain of salt, right? We don't take it as gospel. We don't sit there and genuflect at the altar of Ken Dorsey or anything. I just think it's such a stark contrast based off of what we had been hearing for a month or so. And the fact that we have seen it in the previous 24 hours, that unicorn that we're talking about, maybe they did see something, and maybe I'm just letting myself get all excited for because I need something to get excited about, and I need to believe he's going to be fine week one, because I don't want to sit there and do the same thing you're doing right now. And it's what I might end up doing, by the way, but I don't want to do that where I'm like, all right, I won't judge him until week five. I'm not going to judge him until we take on the Eagles. I'm not going to judge him until we get enough of the offense in place. I mean, it's what if we take the first couple weeks for granted, it starts to spiral because Deshaun isn't there. You lose some confidence within the team, and then before you know it, we're upstream.
You're already snowballing.
I know.
My point is not don't judge Deshaun. It is understand that you're grading a work in progress. That is a little different than every week being an indictment on Deshaun Watson. And I think that's more where my head is.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again. With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.